I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. And in the 24th verse, the 24th chapter, it is. And in verse 10, we read, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And then the 28th chapter, if you'll turn over to the 28th chapter, verse 5, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." And then verse 4, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Now we're confronted with times of tremendous adversity and great troubles. The world's in commotion and great convulsions. And the Bible says if you faint when you see these things come around, your strength isn't very great. That no matter what the trials or what the troubles or what the difficulties may be, the Lord's people look to God and they get strength. They get the courage to be a good, faithful witness to the truth. And then we read in this 5th verse, "Evil men understand not judgment." The wicked don't understand that there is a God who's going to deal with them. That they have to face a judgment day. And consequently, everything that they do will be brought into an accounting, a perfect and full accounting at the hands of the Almighty God. But they that seek the Lord, they understand all things. Those of us who would serve the Lord and we go by His word, we're filled with the truth that He's given us, we understand all things. We can appraise and look at these matters and come out with some conclusions that'll be safe and valid for us to rest in. And then verse 4, it goes with it, "They that forsake the law, why, they'll get so mixed up that they'll start praising the wicked. But those that keep the law, well, they'll always be on the right course, and they will contend with the wicked. They will point out the errors and the false claims of the wicked. And it's the law of God which is the standard. And it's our devotion to this word of God which keeps us in the right position and in the right place. Now, I said tonight I was going to speak on this document which came into my hands this past week out of Canada. It's the communist publication called Northern Neighbors for September 1965. And the first matter that I want to speak about is that things have gotten so bad and the communists are making such great progress that they have become very emboldened. They talk and they write as they have not done before, not in the last years that any of us have been able to see. And right here in our own state, right at the present time, we have a situation confronting us which ought to be a horror to every living citizen of this state, but it isn't. But we've had one of these all-night teach-ins, as they call them, which are promoted by these leftists and by the communists to undermine the stand of our government in Vietnam and to call our nation an aggressor in South Vietnam. And at one of these teach-ins back in April, on April the 23rd, up here in Rutgers, our state university, one of the professors in the Department of History came out and openly said that, in fact, I'll quote what he said, "Those of you who know me know that I am a Marxist and a socialist. Therefore, unlike most of my distinguished colleagues here this morning, I do not fear or regret the impending Viet Cong victory in Vietnam. I welcome it. Now here's a man who is a communist, unmitigated communist, a Marxist, he says, and a socialist. And he's bold enough to get up there in one of these teach-ins and make these assertions. He's not afraid to do it. And then this past week, they had another one on Thursday night to which 2,000 people, most of them students, the report said, in our state university, sat up all night in one of these teach-ins. And one of the speakers and one participating was a political science instructor at Drew University, which is a Methodist school in our state. And may I read you the statement of James Mellon as it's reported here in the New York Tribune for Friday, October 1st. As a professed Marxist and socialist, I do not hesitate to state my position. I stand side by side with Professor Genovese. Profess my political viewpoints in class every day. And it is my view that if other professors in New Jersey teaching my subject do not do so, they are abdicating their responsibility. And then in that same meeting, the paper reports that there is a professor on the faculty of Yale University by the name of Staunton Lind, an associate professor of history, who also said that he stood where Professor Genovese stands. So here they come, right out of our universities, right here in our own immediate area. The State University, a Methodist school, Yale University, these professors of political science, these professors of history, come right out and say, I'm a Marxist, and I'm a socialist, and I'm in favor of a communist victory in Vietnam. Think of it. They're getting very, very bold. And we see now that when they do it, there's little reaction. There's little reaction. It's a pathetic situation, and the communists are fully aware of it, and they think, I'm sure, that the American people are too indifferent, and they don't care, and so they're getting very bold. Now, I'm sure that that has contributed to this development as it relates to the field of the churches. The name of this article is entitled, What's Shaking Our Churches? And then the communists begin to speak about the troubles that are in the churches. They proceed to claim that they are responsible for them in no small measure. And then, of course, they are rejoicing in the fact that the churches, according to statistical reports, are falling behind and that this is a very good sign. Now, I touched on some of these things this past week on my radio ministry, but I'm going to raise questions here and touch on things that I never touched on the radio at all. And I want you people to listen to this. Religion is weakening in North America, so finds the Gallup poll. A steady decline over the past 8 years. This same trend is even clearer in most European countries. And although our papers try to hush up this basic feature of the changing churches, the evidence is strikingly clear. And then we have the discussion of the Catholics, and listen to this on the Catholics. Take Keating's shocking book, The Scandal of Silence. This noted Catholic editor calls his church a sickly monster, too weak to live and too strong to die. He blasts Roman Catholic schools and culture in terms few Protestants would dare to use. Protestants, every church in this group is in grave need of some clergyman, but young people will not go into the church, certainly not the best youth who once were attracted to the pulpit. Reason? People realize that religion no longer plays a central part in life. Jews. Now I'm reading what they say about the Jews. Crisis here is very serious because religion was a major influence in preserving the Jewish community and culture. Now powerful voices are raised condemning this link between modern Jewish life and ancient doctrines of Judaism, the synagogue's influence is declining. Now, here they start out by telling us that religion is on the decline, and as you go on through, they're very happy about it. They make reference to this book by Keating, which is wanting the Roman Catholic Church, of course, to become a great deal more liberal than it has been. And he blasts it, and the Roman Catholic Church is now liberalizing itself considerably in its ecumenical council in Rome. Then he turns into the Protestant field, and he says the Protestant churches are in great trouble. They can't get young people to go into their ministries anymore because the church no longer plays an essential part in the life of the people. And then they appraise the Jewish situation, and they say the Jews are all upset. They're all troubled. Now, just read church publications, and you'll see how tremendous has been the power of the people's peace fight in changing religion. This has had an amazing result, because peace means peaceful coexistence with the USSR and socialism. All major religions have had to play down their vicious anti-Soviet propaganda, and even to develop left-wing groups and clergymen who now say Marx and Lenin weren't all wrong. Because they cannot avoid it, even Roman Catholic leaders now support peaceful coexistence with communists. Many millions of their church members vote for communists anyway, parenthesis, Italy and France. Now, beloved, here comes the communist in their publication saying, what's shaking the churches? And something is affecting the churches, they tell us. The churches are going down. The churches don't have their appeal. The churches aren't satisfying the needs of their people as they once did. Now they claim that their activity in the people's peace fight is changing religion. And they're making these open claims for the first time, so far as I'm aware. Now, in the introduction to this article, which is here giving this communist appraisal, few people see that churches everywhere are being shaken to their foundations by the swift advance of socialism. In other words, here's the swift advances of communism, the socialistic, and of course socialism here means communism, and by the victory scored by the USSR's drive for lasting peace. Beloved, the claim is here made that the communist drive for this peace program and the communist swift advances have so modified the church's programs and activities that it has taken away its anti-Soviet emphasis. This has had the effect of removing from the testimony and the position of the church in its opposition to communism and all that communism represents any real anti-Soviet propaganda. If there's one place in all this world where anti-communist and anti-Soviet propaganda ought to be heard, it should be in the church. The church has lost the most, it has the greatest to lose. The church is the one that suffered more than any other agency over there. The churches in the communist country, the Jews in the communist country, all these groups have suffered untold persecution at the hands of the communists. And do you know that all this information about what the communists have done is just laid aside and you never hear anything about it? There's no presentation to the public. And our country tonight, so far as these churches are concerned, is just virtually limp. Limp. The communists say that their program and their activity has taken the sharp edge of opposition to the communist out of the Christian church. That's their claim. Then they proceed to say that the churches have had to develop their left-wing group of clergymen. That the whole left-wing element in the church has come about as a result of the communist influence and the communist activity. And here you have your communist infiltration into your front groups, and all this material has been exposed by our House Committee down in Washington, the Senate's Internal Security Committee, which none of your newspapers ever report to us. But here they say that it has produced, this whole activity of theirs has produced a left-wing group of clergymen who now say Marx and Lenin weren't all wrong. And we, right now, are being propagandized by these liberal church groups right here in our own country to the effect that this kingdom of God, which they're going to build, this wonderful kingdom of God society, can accept the half-truth of communism. When I read this, beloved, and I saw this document coming out of Canada and saw what the communists were saying here, I said, they've been reading John C. Bennett in New York. That's all. They've just been reading his book, because his book is just full of this very line, that there is in Marx these elements which we should accept and which are related to Christianity. As a matter of fact, John C. Bennett says in his book, Christianity and Communism, quote, Marxism inherited from the biblical faith its passion for social justice, end of quote. Well, Marxism doesn't have anything that it has inherited in any way, shape, or form from Christianity or from a biblical faith. But here we now are being told by these liberal church leaders that there are elements in communism which are valid and which we should accept. It simply means that these clergy have become socialist, they become Marxist in their thinking at this particular point, and they brought it into the Christian religion, and now the communists come along and say, we're responsible, we sold them these ideas, we're responsible, we got these ideas to be accepted, we're responsible, we've been propagandizing these ideas now through these years, and so we can rise up now and say, what's troubling the churches? That's their question. Now, before I get into the second angle of this for you people to see, I want to stop at this point and say that when the churches begin to languish and they become dead, the communists are happy because religion's lost its life. When the churches turn aside to their social emphasis and this Marxian application of these things, the communists are happy because they're leading the churches away from the one message that they fear and the one message which will put strength and which will put resistance in the Christians against the communists. And the one answer, beloved, which the communists cannot get around or get over is a live, virile, strong, militant Christian movement. It's a church that's filled with people who believe, who pray, who testify, who won't compromise, who are willing to deal with the evil forces that abound. And the communist knows that it is the strong, Bible-believing Christian who's under orders from his God that he has to deal with. And our solution and our remedy for this problem right now is to build some Christian churches in this country that'll be free from the yoke with modernism, and we'll have none of these preachers riding around with high honors and being received in great conventions as great ecclesiastical thinkers who are preaching the half-truth of communism. We must have churches built on the rock and churches standing upon the gospel, and churches which are filled with people who are listening to preachers who are informing them and warning them and instructing them and exhorting them and bringing them face to face with their responsibility in the land in which they live. I'm sure the communists overstepped themselves at this point, because when they make such a description and make such claims for themselves, men like myself, and I've suggested on my radio this week that when our preachers get this, we published it, we're putting it out by the thousands, that they do what I've done tonight, go right into their pulpits with their people and tell them these things. This is from Canada, this is the northern neighbors. I haven't seen this published in any communist paper yet in the United States, but something like this will be coming out very shortly, I'm sure. Because in my general observation, Canada is just a little ahead of us. Canada is a little bit more leftist and more favorable to the communists than we have been. They want China recognized, Red China recognized, and you get a little more of this in Canada than we're getting down here at the present time. But this is the line that the communists have now come out to boast about. All right, now let's turn to this second question. The communists now tell us that the faiths themselves are changing, not just their emphasis upon social questions. In a way no one would have dreamed possible, church leaders themselves are attacking the fundamental teachings of religion. Above all, in order to accept the discoveries of science, they are rejecting the Bible as the Word of God and describing it as a collection of ancient mythical tales not to be taken too seriously. Let me read you the next paragraph, because they seem to be delight in talking about the Roman Catholics in this series. Thus you see a revolution in the Catholic Church, with Mass being said in the native language rather than Latin. Then noted men like Paul John Buell, Loyola College, that's the Roman Catholic College, I believe, in New Orleans, are vigorously attacking the church for not militantly leading the fight for peace. In other words, here they're fully aware of the elements in the Roman Catholic Church and what's taking place in the Roman Catholic Church, and here they're describing it at the present moment, and all of this is leading us right down the road. Notice this. To their very core, to belief in God even, the churches are shaking. What is this? A collapse of religion, the disappearance of faith. Then, speaking of the churches, we read, they're convinced that they must streamline their dogmas in order to hold believers in our modern scientific times. To achieve this, they may even discard the most sacred beliefs of the past. Finally, Catholics and Protestants must abandon much of their faiths if they are to come closer and someday unite. This, they realize, must be done to save what is left of the church's influence, and some clergymen are even considering unity with Jewish, Buddhist, and Mohammedan faiths. Now, beloved, there's a description of the ecumenical movement, this broad ecumenical movement. And the communists are delighting that this elimination of essential things and this attack upon the fundamentals of the faith, all of that that's taking place, they are delighting in. And they're saying so. And this means, beloved, that you and I, who are believers in the Word of God, have had a gauntlet thrown down upon us. We've had a challenge thrown down upon us. And we have a responsibility now to go to the people who are listening to the gospel and say, this is the gospel. This is the whole Word of God. This is all that God's been pleased to reveal to us. Let's lay hold upon it. Let's make it our own. Let's give it to our children. Let's take it into our homes. Let's live the Word of God. The preachers of this country, men who stand where I stand, in the pulpits of this country, are going to have the blood of the people of this land on their hands if they don't come and tell the people these things in the presence of all the abuse and all the misunderstandings and all the attack that's made. And do you know, beloved, that when I stand in this pulpit tonight and preach a sermon such as I'm preaching like this, there are all manner of Christian people say, well, now let's don't get involved in these things. Why doesn't Dr. McIntyre preach the gospel? I am preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel right this very moment. I'm telling you about the evils and the sin and the corruption and the godliness. And I'm telling you that the only way you can meet it is to come to Christ and stand up and be a Christian. And we want the gospel to make men of faith and men of character and men of conviction and men who will stand up for the truth of God. And that's what Christianity will do to anybody if he will take the word of God and follow it. Frankly, beloved, I'm just weary and sick of all these sweet, soft, soggy, sentimental, pious, pacifistic fundamentalists that we had to deal with. I'm weary of them. They're all around us today, trying to commend themselves to people by their sweet piousity when they are forsaking the demands of the Word of God in their responsibility to deal with the people about them. You want the conclusion of this? We're told now the most advanced church leaders have vigorously entered the struggle of the people today for peace, for racial equality, for economic and political reform. And they're simply saying here that these liberal church leaders who are most advanced, they've gone into the struggles of the people today. And here is the communist publication saying that these ecclesiastical leaders who move into these areas of what they call peace and racial equality and economic and political reforms, that these are the men who are helping to shatter and shake and move so that a revolution can come. And the communists are describing here as coming from the advanced clergy. And then they come on down to the very end and they say this. They're still aware of the fact that though these clergy are helping the cause, they're not quite ready to go all the way. And so the communists are going to... The clergy have dulled the edge of the people's struggle and have often diverted the fight away from its true goal. And so they will use the clergy and they'll use all this up to a point and then they'll grab it and push it over the line to the true goal. And that's it. These communists are so very courageous. Now, beloved, I have, I think, about 1,000 of these papers here tonight. I brought them. I want you people to take this, as many as you want tonight, and circulate them and pass them everywhere you possibly can. Give them out, give them out, give them out. Let them see that this is what the communist is doing. I don't know what it is going to take, but I know this, that all through our area here, we've got a lovely, fine group of Christians, an awful lot of them, but they're all sitting here trying to excuse themselves, trying to adjust themselves, trying to justify. They're not doing anything, or they're not becoming concerned, or they're not getting in and taking a part in the resistance that must be manifest against all this liberal and leftist activity that the communists say that they are behind and which pleases them so greatly. And you fundamental preachers and you fundamental people, wherever you are, that believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must go on and remember that they that forsake the law will praise the wicked, but they that keep the law, they'll rise up and contend with them. And it's that responsibility that we have tonight. Oh, how puny and how petty and how sickly and how silly some of us are. We let little petty things, lesser things, insubordinate things, they let all these things down on the lower level pull us this way and pull us that way. Anything to keep us from doing what must be done, bringing men to Christ, bringing them into churches where the Word of God is honored, separating them from the unequal yoke with apostasy, and then seeking to build character and to build homes and to build a nation that will rest upon some mighty principles of righteousness which we have found in the Word of God. My, how the communists love their activities. But oh, how you and I love the Lord and His matchless promises to us. They published these 10 commandments of the Soviet people. Thou shalt never cease to expose and to defeat the worst of man's foes, the enemies of peace. That's commandment number 9. Isn't that ridiculous? Thou shalt never cease to expose and to defeat the worst of man's foes, the enemies of peace. That's it. That's number 9. Well, you ought to turn that around and say, thou shalt never cease to expose and to defeat the worst enemy of man, the devil and all his cohorts. Exposing the works of the devil, dealing with the enemies of the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. The communist says we're to simply expose the enemies of peace. And you know who the enemies of peace are? Those who are against the communists, because the communists are the only ones that are going to bring peace. Now, I'm going to be very interested tomorrow to read the Pope's speech or to hear his speech at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be very interested to see what he says about peace. Who is the great disturber of peace in this world tonight? So far as our political life is concerned, our social life, it is the communist. And you're not going to have peace on this earth until the forces of liberty and righteousness deal with the communist enemy. He has to be dealt with, or we'll never have it. The communist remedy for peace is to destroy all the enemies that are opposed to their control and domination of the world. Well, it'll be interesting tomorrow. I'm just inclined to think that the Pope is going to sidestep that. He's not going to come out and talk about the communists up there in the United Nations, because they're going to sit there before him. In fact, they may be even applauding them, and the cameras tomorrow will be on the Pope, and then they'll put them on the communists next. Maybe they'll get the United States third or fourth. But you watch the television tomorrow. It'll be the Pope and the communists, the Pope and the communists. But will he say anything? They are the ones who are the disturbers of the peace on the face of this earth tonight. And here they are with their lying propaganda, and here they are with their boastful claims, and this is what they're seeking to do, to neutralize this country and to bring this country to the place where ultimately they'll move on down and we'll go into some sort of change or revolution which will bring us in under their control. And that's what they want. And beloved, as a preacher of the gospel tonight, by the grace and by the help of God, every single one of us needs to stand here and occupy until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Every single one of us needs to put our faith and our trust in God and ask Him to deliver us. Ask Him to give us opportunities to witness. Ask Him to take care of us. Ask Him to take away from us the fear of man, which brings a snare. And ask Him to put in our hearts the love of souls, the love of the gospel, which alone can reach a man and bring that man up out of sin and out of the darkness of death and give him the light of heaven and the gift of everlasting life. Oh, it's this gospel which must be preached. And tonight when I look across my own country and I see our churches dark and closed, I see our theaters booming, I see our people having their cocktail parties about the television tonight, and look at your churches, they're cold and they're damp and they're dead. Look at the condition that we face. And the only way it's going to be changed is for you to believe in Christ and say, Lord, here I am. The whole day is yours. And I'll be in the house of God. And I'll bring others to the house of God. And we'll listen to the preaching of the gospel. And we'll pray that sinners will be converted. And that men will not fall away into the paths of indifference and wickedness. And in these days of apostasy, that we'll be alert to what's taking place. And we will build churches, and we'll build Sunday school classes, and we'll have a ministry here that's separate from all this. And then it'll be a towering light. It'll be a magnificent witness to the grace of God and to the power of God. My, oh my, if this thing moves as it is moving now, the sufferings and the persecutions that are going to come. You know, some of these sweet, pious people that use their piousness as a substitute for obedience to God in these great areas where the mighty issues are being lost today because Christians won't do their duty to God. The communists wouldn't have been this bold to make claims like this. They would have never been this bold if they thought it would hurt them too much. But it hurts them with me, and it hurts them with you. The communists go to these pulpits. They go right into these pulpits to silence them, to neutralize them, keep them quiet. That's where they go. And it was the church that the communists sought to break in the Ukraine, the Baptists down there, the church that the communists have been out to destroy. And so they're doing it as rapidly as they possibly can. But if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. And in these days of adversity, there is no fainting. There is no weakening. There's no retreating. There's no yielding. In the days of adversity, our strength is in the Lord who made the heavens and who made the earth. I don't know where all you visitors came from tonight, but I see quite a few of you here. But I want to say to you people, you've got some problems to face wherever you are. You must face up to the fact that you're yoked up, many of you, in some of these churches where apostasy is very, very great. And you may be in a little group here that's trying to justify, trying to explain, trying to say, well, it doesn't involve us. Well, it does involve you because you're in it. And all the excuses in the world can't justify you being in it and being in fellowship with it. And when I pick this up, whoever would have thought the day would come when a man who's he's teaching in Drew University, the Methodist school, would be so bold in the state of New Jersey to get up and say, I'm a Marxist and I'm a socialist. Drew University at Madison, that's your Methodist school. Every Methodist in the state ought to be having something done to him. To think that a thing like that could take place. And how could it ever take place? How we developed? How's this thing moved? How's this thing been moving along? Simply because the Christian people don't keep themselves informed. And if somebody comes along to inform them, they say, well, now why doesn't he have a prayer meeting or preach the gospel? I don't want to be disturbed. That's exactly the way they talk. And then they say, well, anybody who talks like Dr. McIntyre isn't spiritual. Beloved, Dr. McIntyre is doing this because he is spiritual. It's because you love God that you're going to keep the commandments of God, and it's because you love God that you're out here informing and warning and alerting and exhorting the people of God. The men who know these things are going on, and what tell their people? They don't love them. They're afraid of them. Just keep them sleepy and keep them happy. Keep them comfortable. Don't get them disturbed. Oh, beloved, it's the business of the pulpit to tell the people the truth and to get them disturbed and to wake them up and then to let them deal with these things on the basis of what the Bible says. And then we'll get somewhere in our country. And we'll get somewhere with our churches. And we'll get somewhere with the blessings of the Spirit of God. Think of the communist telling us that they're shaking the churches. And they're shaking them to change them. Beloved, you know who ought to be shaking our churches right now? The preachers of the gospel ought to be shaking them until they wake up some of these dead people and bring them alive so that they will be active in Sunday schools and in visitation and reaching the lost, and who will give their time and their energy and their attention to the responsibilities of building and maintaining the kind of churches that the Bible says we should have. Well, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the message. What a warning it is. And oh, may the people of this church and other churches realize what we're facing. And we see these men in high places denying the faith, attacking the fundamental teachings of our faith, getting by with it. And oh, Father, we pray that Thou will bring conviction to Thy people who are in these great areas where they're in fellowship with that which the communists claim that they're doing and accomplishing. And, oh, Father, tonight again we pray that we shall not be deceived by these false peace appeals that come out of the Russian world. And then our men on this side don't draw the lines of distinction so that the rest of our people will realize what it means. Oh, God, help us tonight. The road is narrow and the enemies abound, but Thy power is almighty. Are there any unsaved people here tonight, Lord? Speak to them and bring them to the Lord. And if there are people here tonight who are in this apostasy, Lord, bring them out. Bring them out, and may they realize that they themselves are going to be held accountable for these things in that great day when they come to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, bless the message. For Christ's sake, amen.